We won North, we won South, we won in between.
He won East, too. After sweeping contests in Washington State, Louisiana, Nebraska, and the Virgin Islands on Saturday, the U.S. ones, by the way, Obama took the Maine caucus on Sunday and even added a Grammy to the pile of wins last night. So who does President Bush think will win the Democratic nomination?
You're the pundit. I'm just a simple president.
Chris Wallace of Fox News also asked Mr. Bush about John McCain, and the president said very supportive things. So Mike Huckabee says it ain't over till it's over, citing his wins in Louisiana and Nebraska on Saturday as proof that his little engine could make it all the way to the White House, possibly. A very eventful weekend in politics. Jim VandeHei from Politico.com is on the line. So, Jim, Mike Huckabee, he's saying he's staying in the race until either he or McCain are in the 1,191 delegates needed to win this nomination. But mathematically, and I'm not really good at math, but I even know this, it seems fairly impossible for Huckabee to get the amount of delegates he needs to win when he needs 960 and there's only 819 left. So why is he staying in it?
Yeah, well, you might not be good at math, but I think you're getting pretty close there. They basically have to sweep all the states that are left to be able to win enough delegates to win the nomination. I don't think any Republicans think that will happen. But the truth is the entire Republican establishment laid its collective hand on McCain and said he is now our nominee. And what happens? The voters in Kansas and Louisiana say, we don't like him. We like that Huckabee guy. And they vote for him, and McCain barely wins Washington State. So the truth is Huckabee has every reason and every right to stay into the race, to continue to make his point, continue to raise his national profile, perhaps win a couple of states and become an even bigger player in Republican politics, even if he doesn't win the nomination.
So here's Mike Huckabee when Tim Russert challenged him on this issue on Meet the Press.
The thing is, it's not just how many I need. Senator McCain also needs that many. And if he doesn't get that many, he's not the nominee either. This thing could go to the convention. Who knows?
Talking about delegates, of course. In terms of, even if Huckabee doesn't pull this out, how harmful is it to McCain that he's going to keep going forward?
I don't think it's that harmful. Huckabee is not the kind of a politician who's going to be attacking McCain as ferociously as Mitt Romney was. And the truth is, there's a lot of hand-wringing in Washington that, we just need to unify as a party and start looking at the general election. The truth is, anybody who's interested in politics is just looking at the Democratic side right now because it's a much more interesting race, and Republicans have a lot of work to do inside their own house. They got to figure out a way for McCain really to start healing some of these wounds with conservatives. I think some of those might not be capable of being healed, but he's obviously starting to do some of that outreach. I don't see this thing being dragged out, hurting McCain all that much, though there is a danger for Republicans that they force McCain to be something that he really isn't, which will then make it harder for him to be what he actually is, which is probably a good asset in the general election, which is sort of an independent-minded Republican at times that can appeal to independent-minded voters.
Well, it's interesting. Yesterday on Fox, President Bush, he didn't quite endorse John McCain as the Republican nominee, but he did give him somewhat of a conservative stamp of approval. Let's listen to the president.
He's very strong on national defense. He's tough fiscally. He believes the tax cuts ought to be permanent. He's pro-life.
But it's interesting. I've heard more than one person say, yeah, but he's not a true conservative. What does that mean to be a true conservative if he's already strong in defense, pro-life, fiscally responsible, all the things the president mentioned?
It beats me. I mean, the truth is, like, his voting record in the Senate is really conservative. He's one of the more conservative members of the U.S. Senate. The truth is, like, he's not been with Republicans on some big issues, campaign finance reform, immigration, and some of the spending votes in the Bush tax cuts. But on most votes, he is with them. For whatever reason, though, and it's just like we all know people like this in our lives, like, he just rubs a lot of his Republican friends the wrong way. He's butted heads with them on issues that are visceral and that matter to Republicans, especially immigration. The Republican base is so fired up about immigration, they didn't want anything that could smack of amnesty. They feel like McCain was the big advocate of a bill that could lead to amnesty, and they've not forgiven him for that, and they feel that once he's in the White House, he would continue to lead with those instincts. The truth is, he would lead with those instincts, and it's probably not bad politics works for him, because you're not going to win with the old Bush formula from 2004 that just try to maximize turnout of your base. I just don't think that will work. McCain's going to have to find a way to bring new people into the party, and quite frankly, make sure that they can win, that Republicans can win a big enough share of the Hispanic Latino vote, which they're going to have a hard time doing if they take a very, very hard line stance against illegal immigration.
We're talking to Politico.com's Jim Vandehei. And Jim, Obama swept all five races this weekend. Now, both Obama and Clinton were featured on 60 Minutes last night in these back-to-back interviews. Obama started off addressing charges that he would wither under Republican scrutiny. Let's listen to bites from both of them.
You know, one of the things I try to point out is, going up against the Clinton machine is no cakewalk. They're pretty serious about winning as well.
You have to believe you're going to win. Otherwise, leave the field and let somebody who has the confidence and the optimism and determination that a leader has to have get on that field instead.
So they both sound like they're in it for the long haul, for the real fight of this. Yet Clinton's campaign manager, Patty Solis Doyle, she had to step down Sunday, replaced by Maggie Williams, a senior advisor to the campaign. What do you know about the switch?
Well, there's been a lot of talk about a shakeup for some time in Clinton land. There's been a lot of unease with the direction of the campaign, particularly post Iowa, and they felt like they needed to shake things up and to get a new energy to the entire operation and maybe some new thoughts infused into the way that they're running this thing. Because the truth is, Obama has momentum. You can look at the popular vote, you can look at the delegate count and say, this thing is just too close to call. There's nobody in Democratic politics at the senior level right now who thinks that that's the case. A lot of people feel like Obama clearly has momentum. That doesn't mean he's going to win it, but the fact is he swept through all the races this weekend, is likely to win in Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. today. And if he wins everything this month, which a lot of Democrats think will happen, that's devastating to Hillary Clinton. She can say, I'm close in delegates and I've got superdelegates all she wants. If she's losing states and momentum's going Obama's way and the money's going Obama's way, she's in a world of trouble.
Well, let's talk about the delegate count, because every media outlet has a different tally for Obama and Clinton. NPR gives Obama 952, Clinton 893. MSNBC gives Obama 861, Clinton 855. Politico, Clinton 1,000, Obama 902. The New York Times, you get my point anyway.
Right.
So the campaigns even offer up different versions of the tally. Why all this disparity in the numbers?
Not to take you too deep into an arcane process, but some media outlets like us include the pledged superdelegates, and superdelegates are the party poobahs, the members of Congress, the senators, and big officials at the DNC who can vote whatever way they want, and we and others, some factor in those people that have pledged their vote to one candidate or the other. The other thing that gets really complicated is the way that some of the states divvy up their delegates. Some of them are very complicated, where you have this initial round of voting, and then you have to wait until actually there's a state party convention to figure out what exactly those delegates will do. So there is this is not a precise science, though. If you look at the totality of all of the delegate counts, it's clear that Obama has a very, very slight lead in the delegate count and continues to pick up more and more delegates as the process rolls forward. That's why there's so much unease inside the Clinton campaign, because they understand the dynamics of politics, that momentum can end up to creating a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy where more and more money comes in, more and more people could come to your events, more and more people turn out and vote for you. And you look around the country, there was an event in Seattle a couple days ago where Obama packed the stadium where the professional basketball team plays. He's in Virginia yesterday, Virginia Beach, 18,000 people showed up. That's unheard of in a primary race, and people are really fascinated by the Obama phenomenon, which gives him a lot of advantages because he gets a lot of media coverage and a lot of people show up, even if they're not going to vote for him, show up because they're curious
about
him. Just
the spectacle of the whole thing. Hey, Jim, so let me give you 30 seconds to plug what's going on with you and ABC.
Yeah, ABC 7, which is a local local ABC affiliate here in Washington and Politico are doing back-to-back 30-minute uninterrupted interviews with Clinton and Obama tonight from 7 till 8. So voters in this area, in the Chesapeake primary, which we're calling it, is Virginia, D.C., and Maryland, can see the two at least back-to-back. Obama refused to participate in a debate. We had offered to host a debate tonight with ABC. Obama does not want to debate Clinton, but we have got him back-to-back, so voters at least get a taste of the contrast between the two candidates.
All right.
It'll be good stuff.
Yeah, Jim Vandehei at Politico.com. Good luck tonight, and thanks for being with us, as always.
Enjoy your day. Bye.
You know, it's interesting, Allie. Over the weekend, you had some of these super delegates talking about the pressure that they feel. And, like, their family and friends are starting to lobby them, saying, you know, you should vote for Obama or you should vote for Clinton. It's pretty interesting.
It's getting down to the wire. We're down to the wire
Speaking
as well.
Speaking of which, yeah.
That's it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.
And I'm Rachel Martin.
We're available to you online at npr.org/Bryant Park. Do come visit us.